Let's get ready to rumble!
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Far too kind.
Can I get an encore?
Do you want more? Cook it raw with the Brooklyn Boys. But for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Now what the hell are you waiting for? As for me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. You hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap race is dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing Jet, Slow Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep, yep, grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in hell with no pen? Just go off this.
What's up, ladies and gents? Back for another beautiful edition of Left Hook Lounge Radio. Like always, I'm your host, Vivek Wallace, Vito. Soon to be joined by one of the best minds in the business, guy whose work I've always respected. Great work, stand-up guy, no complaints from my end. None other than HBO's Kieran Mulvaney. Here to break down Mayweather-Pacquiao with us for a little bit. Been a very great week on Left Hook Lounge Radio. We started off Monday with boxing scenes. Ryan Burton. We went to Iceman John Scully from there. We went to Kevin Ioli of Yahoo Sports from there. Yesterday we were supposed to have DeMarcus Chop Corley in the building with us with an update straight from the Mayweather gym. But that one fell through scheduling conflicts. I guess he had a few more black eyes to hand out, so he wasn't able to get in the building with us last night, but we will have him back next week. So to tie everything up, tonight, again, we'll be sitting and talking a little bit with Kieran Mulvaney. A lot of different things going on in the world of boxing. We won't touch on those as much tonight. This will be an abbreviated Mayweather versus Pacquiao coverage. We're only going to go 30 minutes tonight, not the typical hour that we've done all week. Friday night, you know how that goes. We don't want to hold Kieran up too long. I'm sure he has some things to get into and some articles to break down. So 30-minute edition tonight, short and sweet. But I don't think that we'll miss out on anything at all. We'll definitely make sure we get it all in. If you have questions for Kieran, being that we won't be on for a full hour tonight, shoot them to me. I'll be sure to get them in as he and I go through a few things to capture this monumental fight coming up in the world of boxing. Just about an hour ago, some of you may have had the opportunity to check out the countdown to Mayweather versus Pacquiao live on CBS Sports Network. A pretty good 30 minutes. I thought that it was a nice little teaser, something to get the average fight fan back in a rhythm, looking at the faces, familiar with the faces, familiar with the typical cast in the Mayweather gym, Pacquiao gym out there, Wild Card, L.A. So we were able to get a little teaser tonight, but that buzz will build to a crescendo at some point because it's starting to really heat up the more and more I speak to people out in Vegas, et cetera. But I do think, like I said, it should be an incredible road to that fight, and definitely can't wait to get it going. With no further ado, I'm going to go ahead and jump right to it, being that we are on an abbreviated schedule tonight. I think my man Kieran is live in the building with us. Let's go out to him. Kieran, are you with us?
I certainly am. Thanks very much for asking me on the show.
Hey, thanks for coming, man. Great to talk to you. I don't get to do this very often, so I'm enjoying myself already. We're just getting kicked off. What's new in your world?
Well, you know, I got to go to Vegas. There's a fight on May 2nd. You may have heard about that. So we got some of that to get done. But I mean, we've got a crazy, crazy schedule coming up. Not just that. We got Klitschko before that. There's a big twin bill on HBO on April 18th. And then we got two fights after the May 2nd one. So it's just kind of nuts. I'm not going to see my house very much over the next month or two.
Yeah, I can imagine. Speaking of which, real quickly before we get into the Mayweather Pacquiao stuff, I noticed there was a little bit of an issue tonight with the card that's supposed to take place tomorrow. Did you hear much about that whole thing with Kid Chocolate not making weight?
Yeah, I saw a little bit about that, and I guess he managed to get it down to about, what, 160.6 or something in the end, but that's not going to get him the title. So what did he end up coughing up to Andy Lee? A fair bit, I think, 125,000 or something like that. So,
Wow.
not quite as much of a lucrative outing for him as he might have hoped.
Oh, boy. Yeah, not a good thing right there, but I do think that card actually will be a pretty good card. I'm definitely looking forward to the Garcia-Peterson fight, but the Quillen-Andy Lee fight, I think, could surprise a lot of people. I think that's going to be a really, really good fight, and contrary to people ruling Lee out, I think Lee actually has a very decent shot in that fight.
Yeah, you know, I started thinking when the fight was first talked about and first made, my initial thought was, oh, you know, Quillen's going to win this. And then, you know, as we've gotten closer and, well, I mean, you look at Andy's performances in his last couple of fights, and you've clearly apparently got to put a stake through his heart to make sure he doesn't knock you out with that right hook. And
yeah.
Peter does have some stamina issues, right? So he certainly has shown in the past that he's good. He'll build up a good lead early in fights often, and then he'll kind of plateau a little bit. And he doesn't want to be doing that against Andy Lee. And I agree with you. I think Garcia-Peterson also is a really interesting and tough fight. And I would favor Garcia, but I don't think it's a gimme by any means.
Yeah, I feel the same on that. I think the body work in that fight from Peterson could make a bigger difference than a lot of people are seeming to think right now. Garcia should win, but yeah, I, like yourself, I certainly could not rule out Peterson. But let's go ahead and jump right to it. Obviously, May 2nd, Mayweather-Pacquiao, MGM Grand Las Vegas, biggest fight in my lifetime, but I know you've been around for quite some time. Put it in perspective for us. As long as you've been in the sport covering boxing, some of the stuff you've seen, how does this compare to other big fights in the past in your mind?
Well, I mean, I've only been kind of covering it, the sport, or quasi-covering it since 2002, 2003 or so. So in that period of time, there's nothing even remotely close. I guess if I'd started a year or two earlier, maybe Lewis Tyson would be something close to that. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, it's just off the charts. Eric Raskin and I, in our HBO Boxing podcast, we did a rundown of what we thought were like the 10 biggest fights of the last 50 years or so. Not necessarily the best, not the most exciting from a boxing fan's perspective, but the ones that going into the fight, before a punch was thrown, had the most hype, had the most attention, had the most significance. I had this third on my list, behind only Ali Frazier 1 and Ali Foreman. Eric had it, you know, sort of about there, third or maybe fourth. Max Kellerman actually suggested to Eric that he thought, in fact, this is bigger than Ali Foreman, that this is, in the last 50 or so years, surpassed only by Ali Frazier in terms of its immensity and what it means. And, of course, part of the issue is, you know, boxing isn't as big as it was at the time of Ali Frazier, say. But this fight stands so much higher than the rest of the other matchups in the sport that it transcends the sport. Like you, I'm sure, pretty much the only question I've been asked since 2009 when I tell people that I work in boxing is, is Floyd ever going to fight Manny? It's just about the only question you ever get. And the fact that this is now finally being answered, I think, is what makes it so huge.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, sometimes I have to pinch myself to think that it's no longer a question of if, it's when, and not even when, but when they get in the bell. Like, it's all solid now. And that's, I mean, last year at this time, I didn't think it was even possible. Got really ugly. But speaking about that stuff, when we think back to the beginning of the negotiating phase, of course, the infamous drug tests and all of that stuff, what was your perspective on that? You know, a lot of people felt like Mayweather, you know, kind of asked for that test, knowing that Pacquiao would say no. Then you have that contingent that feels, you know, well, why would Pacquiao say no to a drug test? What did you think about that whole thing and the fact that it was able to delay such a big fight for so long?
I think that my sense at the time was that Bob and Floyd hated each other so much that it was almost like they were both looking for an opportunity to not do that fight. I think they were both dreading the thought of having to be with each other and do a promotion. And, you know, I know that, you know, there had been talk, if you recall, about maybe having the fight in Cowboy Stadium. And Bob was furious when, at the last minute, Richard Schaefer didn't show up for a meeting with Jerry Jones at Cowboy Stadium. And that was the first time that maybe things were falling apart. And I also think that back then, the issue of drug testing in boxing had not become an issue like it is, and Floyd deserves a lot of credit for making it that issue. And from the perspective of Manny, you know, it wasn't just that we should have drug testing. Roger was out saying he was on stuff, right? He was even creating this A-side meth, whatever the heck that is, and basically saying that he was on this stuff. You know, and Manny Pacquiao, he's a prideful man. He's a hero in the Philippines, and I think he didn't want to basically yield to this accusation. And, you know, and I think there was mistrust around there, and it's only really been, and, you know, and like I said, Floyd deserves a lot of credit for making it happen over the last few years, that people have taken that more seriously. And so there were two guys that just butted heads, and there's been a lot of posturing on different issues and different aspects of it ever since. And I think, in a way, the fight needed Marquez to knock out Pacquiao to happen, because then there erased any doubt as to who was the A-side. And Pacquiao then had to concede that he was the B-side, and he was going to have to take the smaller amount of money, and he was going to have to acquiesce to everything to make the fight happen. And I think once he did that and basically said yes to every one of Floyd's demands for this latest round of negotiations, that's what really enabled it to happen. And even then, it was pretty close. So it was only when one guy basically had to say, yeah, okay, fair enough, you're the A-side, let's make this happen, that it was able to happen.
Exactly. Now, you just mentioned something that's really interesting, the knockout to Juan Manuel Marquez. And I agree, like, that in many ways, it definitely devalued Pacquiao and diminished his odds of getting a comparable split. As you said, he had to concede as a result of that. But as it relates to his ability to win this fight, you know, you have that contingent out there that feels like, okay, coming off a loss like that, you have it embedded in your mind. When you start to take even a fraction of a beating, or you can't get your way in the ring, it's kind of etched in your mind that, okay, it could be about to happen again. It's the old Jermaine Taylor syndrome. Do you think Manny Pacquiao, being the warrior that he is, me personally, I don't think it necessarily plays a big role, but I'd like to get your thoughts on that. Do you think if he's not getting his way with Floyd, and Floyd is able to pick him off early, kind of change, do you see any quit in Manny Pacquiao surfacing in a situation like that?
No, to answer that second point, no, I don't. I think simply because of, you know, what the stakes are here for both guys, I can certainly see frustration as he tries to figure out what he should do. You know, back in when we, to answer your question in a slightly long-winded way, when we were first talking about this fight in 2009-2010, I saw, even though Pacquiao was the guy who was knocking people out and Floyd was the guy who was outpointing them, I said that I thought the two most likely scenarios were either Pacquiao just overwhelming Floyd and winning on points, or Floyd walking him into a right hand and knocking him out, which is actually what Juan Manuel Marquez did 3-4 years later. And so I actually think that the fact that that happened, he had some doubt initially, I think, in his head. But now I think it's a good thing for Pacquiao, because, you know, you better be aware, if you're fighting Floyd Mayweather, that there's going to be a super fast right hand coming your way, right? You just better be aware that that's happening. And so I do wonder if maybe it's going to help him a little bit, because maybe he'll be a little bit reckless than he might have been otherwise in some of his attacks. And maybe he's going to find a way to attack from angles without giving Floyd as much of a window to get him back the way Marquez did. So I wonder that. I think he will be a consideration, but I don't know that it'll be a negative consideration, the fact that he got knocked out by Marquez.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective right there. Now, let me go in a different direction right here. when we think about this fight, I think, you know, I was talking to Kevin Ioli the other night. I had him on Wednesday night, and I was raising a point to him, and this has been my perspective from day one. This is one of the few times that history has kind of gotten it right. You know, Ali and Tyson came in different eras. Kobe and Jordan came in different eras. All these greats we've celebrated in sports over the years, they've come in different eras. Well, this is one of the few times where in the same era you have arguably two of the best fighters ever, yet very different stylistically. Yeah. So it sets the tone for, you could say, arguably the best defense of this era versus the best offense of this era.
Yeah.
That's a very realistic subplot to use going into this fight. But when you think about the styles, my question to you is, like, how do you see, or who, I guess this is a better way for me to ask, who would you give an edge to stylistically? And before you answer that, I just want to preface in saying that you mentioned something a minute ago that I always thought, and that was the work rate of Pacquiao would be problems for Floyd and basically lead to what I think could very well be a points decision. But looking at things now, not the way they were then, who do you think has the edge right now, May 2nd, 2015?
Well, I think the interesting aspect of this fight is that neither, as good as both guys are, neither of them has been in the ring with anybody like the other guy before, you know, which is pretty
good.
Amazing. I think that you're always going to give an edge to Floyd because of his extraordinary technical ability, his incredible matrix-like ability to slow things down in the ring, to think things out, to never get rattled, to never get, you know, rustled in any way. So, technically, Floyd Mayweather is the best fighter that I've seen live, and, you know, and probably will be for many a long year. What I think is kind of interesting is, yeah, for me, Floyd likes to take a few rounds these days, figure his guy out, time him, and then once he's timed him, it's all over. The big disadvantage I think that he has against Manny is Manny's so hard to time. He's not a guy who comes in 1-2 out, 1-2 out. He'll come in 1-2-3, gone. Come in 1, gone. Come in from another angle, 5, gone. Marquez finally timed him, but it took him like 37 rounds. And Manny kind of hung in there a little bit too long. You know, so I think Pacquiao's kind of herky-jerky style is going to be difficult for Floyd to play his usual game. So what I kind of think, and I still haven't settled down and gone really dug into it real deep and looked at tape and all of that kind of stuff over and over. But my initial thoughts as we entered like the last 3 or 4 weeks or so, the two most likely scenarios that I see are Manny still just outworking Floyd and getting a close decision, despite, you know, getting some big hits along the way, and not necessarily even landing very cleanly very much, because that just doesn't happen, but doing enough to hit him somewhere constantly and keeping Floyd in his defense to win cleanly, or Floyd being utterly dominant. I can also see Floyd deciding that he's not going to do that. He's not going to work behind his shell defense. He's going to walk Manny Pacquiao down. He's the bigger guy. He's got the bigger reach. He might actually have better one-punch power now. And if he can keep Manny at bay with that jab in the center of the ring so that Manny can't even get close to him, and then, to go back to the point you were making earlier, use that right hand when Manny does start to get close, he could completely nullify Manny Pacquiao and have what could be the best fight of his career, the best performance of his career. I can see a scenario in which Floyd is unbelievably, incredibly dominant, and it's not just through his defense, it's by using his jab and that right hand.
You know, that's something that I keep hearing people say, honestly, it's almost impossible for me to grasp that mentality. But I know if there's anyone in the world capable of doing it, it's a guy like Mayweather. You know, you think about all of the fights with Marquez, even the one that Marquez won. I mean, he was, you could argue, a couple punches away from being stopped himself. But the interesting thing about that particular fight was the fact that, you know, or all of their fights, I should say, is the fact that Marquez was able to go tooth and nail with him. Each of those fights, each of them were incredibly close to the point where you didn't know who actually won. And I think about the fact that Marquez, I would say, is second best counterpuncher in the sport behind Mayweather. Now you add Mayweather to the equation. This is a guy who, you know, when you think about Marquez, bigger, faster, stronger theory applies. He does everything Marquez does better. He has better reach. He has better speed. He thinks better. So only thing that makes me question his chances in variation from Marquez. Marquez is one of those vintage Mexican styles that I love where he's willing to take punches to land punches, and I don't think Floyd will. So it gets right back to what you mentioned a minute ago relative to whether or not Floyd can land those jabs and offset him as he pounces. Because if that doesn't work, I think Floyd's in for a long night.
Yeah, and the other thing that relates to that also is a big question mark. It's Floyd's legs, right? Because they don't show up every fight anymore, and they don't show up for 12 rounds of every fight anymore. That's the advantage, I think, right now that Manny has that you couldn't say with guys against Floyd in the past. But I think Manny, we'll see if he has cramps or whatever, because those are, that might be an issue. But, if he doesn't, his movement, it's just incredible the way he can dart in and out. As if he's popping into another dimension and then coming back again.
And from a southpaw angle, which makes it that more dangerous.
Exactly. So that's certainly going to be the issue of how much is that going to nullify prevent Floyd from doing what Floyd does best, which is kind of why I think he's got to try to do and why he might very well do something, entirely different to try to put Manny on his back foot. Because, Floyd's as smart as they get in terms of boxers, and as much as he always tends to give up, oh, I never watch this fight, I never do this. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he watches guys, and he's breaking down what he can possibly try and exploit.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, well, we're gonna get ready to shut it down in a minute here, but I wanna backtrack to something you mentioned there, as it relates to the whole. Manny's whole ability to dart in and dart out and that type of thing. When we look at Floyd right now, and you mentioned how he kind of – the legs don't always show up the same. I'm one of those guys personally, I've questioned that myself. I see – the Guerrero fight, I thought he used legs beautifully. The Canelo fight, he didn't move much at all, which impressed me because he gave up about 15, 16, 17 pounds.
Yeah.
He stood right in front of him, but he beat him to the punch all night.
Yeah.
I think that's very easy against long, rangy guys because you can kind of see it coming and they have to put a lot more into their motion before they generate it and the punch actually comes. Manny Pacquiao's punches are short and precise, and we've seen time and time again in the sport. Those type of punches are the ones you'd rarely see coming. Now it's coming from a southpaw angle. You know, it's a whole lot of danger with that. But long story short, do you feel that it is a matter with Floyd where his legs truly are at this stage gone? Or do you think he's just fighting the strategy he needed in those fights, which was to move less and fight more?
No, I think it's more we're grading on the curve with Floyd, right? I mean, because Floyd wins a fight 116-112, we think it's a really close fight. and if Floyd only shows great footwork for 8 rounds of a fight and then is a little bit immobile for another few, we think his legs have gone. I think it's all just grading on the curve as far as Floyd is concerned, in that I think that – I think against Canelo, I think it was absolutely – that was the fight he wanted to fight. He totally wanted to do that. I think maybe the first time against Maidana, not so much. I think it's just a question of before so much of his work was based on a combination of incredible ring generalship as well as tight defense and upper body movement. And now of the three legs of that stool, one of them is a little bit wobbly compared to the other two, is all. And I think he just needs to rely more and does rely more on some of his other skills than he does on his footwork. But, I think the fact that we're still able to have these great conversations and we just don't know, it touches on the point that I think is really important that you brought up earlier, which is we're all focused on, you know, how much money this site is going to make, and it's the richest in boxing history and all of that, and that's all grand. But the reason that it is making that money is exactly as you said. We've got these two guys in the same weight class, number one and number two in their weight class, number one and at the very least number three or four in the world, pound for pound. And it's not only the fight for the welterweight championship. It's not only the fight for who's the best pound for pound guy right now. It's the fight to see who is the defining fighter of his generation. And we've got two brilliant, easy shoe-in, first ballot Hall of Fame, all-time greats with incredibly different styles. And at some point at around, you know, 10 o'clock Pacific time on Saturday, May 2nd, one of these guys is going to be beaten, and one of them is going to be the greatest fighter, at least of his generation. And that's what's at stake. And the fact that we have these contrasting and clashing styles and we don't know how it's going to work out, that's what, you know, that's what gets us all tingly, gets us excited, and that's why it's going to generate so much attention and money. It's a genuinely, I know some people are down on it, oh, it should have happened 5 years ago, and it's going to cost too much. And yeah, dude, this is a once-in-a-generation fight. And should have happened 5 years ago? Sure, but I'm damn excited it's happening now.
Yeah, I honestly think it's a better fight now. That fight back then.
I do too.
You know, yeah, I think it was different dynamics involved. And when we look at it now, you know, yeah, I think Manny Pacquiao is at a different place right now. And I think that the loss actually helped him because he's fighting smarter. He's not just coming in anymore. He's taking his time. He's picking his spots. That's the kind of guy, you know, that I think would have a slightly better chance with Floyd than the one who just had days and days worth of energy before, but he was reckless in his approach. He's not that guy anymore. So I think it all sets up beautifully, man. This is unlike any sporting event I can think of. I've been to NBA championship, Super Bowl, 09 yards. I've never ever really had this type of interest for a sporting event. It's phenomenal. But before we let you get out of here, it's only 3 minutes left in the broadcast. Let me just put you on the hot seat and ask you directly, if you had to call it right now, who wins and how does it happen?
The safe money is always to put money on money, right?
Okay.
Mayweather has always found a way. And he, like I said, we think, oh, look at what Maidana did to him. Maidana won 4 rounds in the first fight. You know, so Floyd is the favorite. I'll probably end up picking Floyd, but for all the reasons that you've talked about and that we've talked about, Manny Pacquiao, I do think, is the guy with all the tools and abilities to give Floyd the hardest possible time. Like I said, I can also see Floyd dominating this. But I can also see Manny Pacquiao being the one guy to unlock this secret. At the moment, it's my pick would be Floyd, but a very qualified Floyd.
Got you. Very well put right there. And to add to your point really quickly, what I think is most intriguing about this fight, I can't remember the last time I've seen either guy lose back-to-back rounds. So over the course of 12, how does that play out? Like, neither one of them have ever, I won't say ever, but I really can't think of a time either one of them have lost back-to-back rounds. They've just been that dominant. You know, outside of the stoppage, if Pacquiao finishes on his feet, he has a very legitimate shot. So, yeah, I think it's amazing. But, listen, we're down to a little bit left, another minute or two, so I want to take a moment and give you the mic so that you can let everyone out there listen and know where they can find you. And, you know, and they want to get their Mulvaney fix on, where should they go?
Well, you're going to get far more of me than you want over the next couple of weeks, I can tell you, as stuff really starts cranking up. Mauro Ranallo and I will be co-hosting the live streams of the Mayweather and Pacquiao Media Days. and those are going to be on, I think, both the HBO and Showtime's YouTube channels. So check them out. Always check the HBO Boxing YouTube channel for all the fighter interviews and that I do. You can find me on Twitter at Kieran Mulvaney. Yeah, it's like everybody else, by May 3rd, you're not going to want to be looking at me anymore. But yeah, always the HBO Boxing and inside HBOBoxing.com for all our blogs and stuff on HBO Fights.
Hey, that's good stuff, man. Well, hey, listen, thank you for hanging out with us here on Left Hook Lounge Radio. Definitely valued having you here. Hopefully we get a chance to talk a little bit more before they actually go live on May 2nd. So thank you.
Oh, I certainly hope so. Thank you, man. That'll be great.
All right. You take care, Kieran.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. All right, ladies and gents, there you have it. Kieran Mulvaney, HBO's own, hanging out here with us on Left Hook Lounge Radio. Excellent to get some insight from him. Like I said before we brought him on, Kieran has always been a guy that I've had great respect for. Not really into the politics, not afraid to say, give unpopular decisions, just a stand-up guy. And that's cut from the cloth that I'm cut from, so I definitely have much respect for that. On that note, though, it's Friday night. I know some of you guys are getting ready for clubs. Your ladies running around in a jersey with nothing on it, whatever you got going on. It's Friday night. You just got paid. Go ahead, have some fun. We're going to do this again Monday. We'll be right back. Left Hook Lounge Radio. I forget who we have on the docket Monday, but I tell you what, it's somebody you want to hear from because I wouldn't have put them on the list if it wasn't. Be ready, ladies and gents. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Peace, God bless, one love, father, two, friend, all love of one, second and none. Good night, ladies and gents.
Yeah, boy!
What the hell are you waiting for?